la 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 la.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a child of the 60s. And if you are a child of the 60s, you know all about Herman's Hermits. They sold 52 million records, 23 top hits, the highest grossing act and biggest selling records sellers in the world for 2 years, and even more than the Beatles in 65, 66. And, of course, Herman's Hermits, as you all know, was Peter Noon. And Herman's Hermits still is Peter Noon. And with us right now is Peter Noon. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
Good. How you doing?
Great, thank you.
How do you feel when you still listen to all the old music? I know you're still singing. It must be still fun to do.
Well, you know, if I'm lucky, you know, I meet these other guys in the business who don't enjoy their music. I must be a cheap date or something because I still like all my songs. You know, I don't have any silly ones like Let's Twist Again, you know. Although you could call Henry VIII a silly one.
It's a little silly.
I find it more and more extraordinary as I do it.
But the second verse is still same as the first.
It is, but, you know, the fact that it's become the wheels on the bus go round and round of my generation is giving it a new meaning. It's more a psychedelic song now.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's interesting, too, you mentioned psychedelic. Psychedelic is back again. McDonald's is doing some kind of 60s and 70s promotion, and a lot of the music of the 60s is back again. Oldies radios brought it out. So you must have, when you go to your concerts, not only the kids, especially the girls who thought of you as a teen idol, but their grandkids.
Well, you know, that is, Mark, we do have their grandchildren. You know what happens is that they, you know, when you were a kid and you used to drive around and your mom and dad used to play Perry Como on the car radio. Well, now, you know, what happens is kids are driven around and they listen to oldies radio stations and they hear, like, Monkees and Beatles and stuff like that. You know, my daughter is 12 and she constantly asks me, you know, like, if we've got an oldies station on. She goes, who's that? And I go, Marvin Gaye. Oh, he's good. Is he an old one, too? You know what I mean? It's interesting because once upon a time, the song music just sort of disappeared when it was used. It was sort of thrown away, wasn't it, really?
I think it's pretty funny, Peter, because one of my neighbors who's about 9 came up to me one time and said, have you heard that new group? They get the song that it's called Light My Fire. They're called The Doors. They're unreal. I said, well, that group is one I grew up with in the 60s, you know. But a lot of the kids nowadays, these things are new to them.
Well, you know, the good thing is that some of these people are still around to play, you know, which is good. You know, my dad used to play the Ink Spots, you know, and I became a fan of their music. You know, it was all very similar. Each song was similar.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad had some, like, Nat King Cole records and Johnny Mathis and stuff like that. And, you know, I know them now. As I grew up older, I know basically what they're all about. I understand them a little bit more. So, you know, hopefully these 9-year-old kids will... Hey, we just did a tour where the average age of the audience was probably 30, which makes no sense.
Wow.
You know, there were people who were 50 and there were people who were 6.
That's interesting. Now, you are together with Davy Jones and also with Bobby Sherman. Both have been on this show and are great guys. So it must be a lot of fun. You must be having a lot of fun with those guys.
Oh, yeah. We're just finishing, actually. We've just got a couple more dates this year, and then we'll probably go up again next year and do... You know, the rest of the story.
So the rest of these concerts...
It was an incredible... nobody really knew what it was that we were doing. You know, the idea was to do this teen idol thing. But we didn't know that the audience would react as if we were teen idols. I know that... I mean, that we were teen idols, but not that we aren't teen idols. You know what I mean?
Sure.
The audience screamed and stuff like that. It was kind of very amusing. Every night I went and watched the show. You know, every night I went and watched Bobby Sherman do his entrance, and then I watched Davey with all the girls screaming, and then it was like I was like a fan as well. I loved to see the reaction of these people who were kind of overjoyed to see their teenage heartthrobs walk out on stage and still look good and sound good. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, I think that what happens is, especially the women who are now in their late 40s, early 50s, who grew up listening to the Monkees and Herman's Hermits and some of the other groups, and Bobby himself, I mean, it kind of brings back their childhood, and they act like they were when they were teenagers.
Exactly. It's kind of a strange phenomenon. I don't think it's ever happened before, you know, because, you know, I think we've all had the opportunity to grow out of stuff like that, but I guess these people have not had replacement teen idols. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating that Bobby Sherman and Davey and I still get, like, huge amounts of kind of fan mail. you know, from married women and, you know, divorced women. And it's like fan mail. They've not let go after 30 years, which is very, very strange to me. I thought I knew everything.
Do you find
you get like you're handsome and then you make another album and it either sounds the same and you go away or you make something, you move on a little bit. But, you know, imagine if Hanson can still tour in 30 years from now. It changes the whole idea of the music business because it used to be kind of very disposable, didn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I was playing a record of yours the other day, which my little kids, I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, who they call them big CDs and because they don't know what a record is. But we were listening to Herman's Hermits, and they loved the music, and they kept asking me to play it again. So I told them, I said, today that the lead singer from Herman's Hermits is coming on. And they said, oh, Herman's coming on? I said, no, his name's Peter. And they said, well, why is it Herman's Hermits? Why isn't it Peter's Hermits?
You know, it's a long story. You know, it was the generation, at the period that when we chose the name, it was when bands didn't have guys in them called George, like George Harrison and Paul. Everybody had these fabulous American-sounding names like Ricky and Dean. And, you know, we had a drummer called Steve Titterington in our band, and he changed his name to Steve Gray.
Yeah.
So Peter Noon didn't sound like the right kind of name for a pop star, you know. And I decided to go the opposite of being called Billy Fury and Johnny Thunderbolt and stuff like that, and go for a really uninvented name at the time, dorky name. You know, I wanted to have the opposite of a teen idol name, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever foresaw that I would ever be an attraction to girls. You know, because I was like this skinny little English guy with like, until then everybody had this sort of perfect Italian haircut with some required amount of glue on it. And I was completely the opposite of that. And I chose a name that sort of fitted somebody who didn't quite fit.
A Herman.
That's where Herman came from. You know, it's like Herman was the guy who studied a lot. He never went to concerts and couldn't dance.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, now,
but you know, now I'm Peter Noon, and I'm Herman as well now. You know, because I decided during this last tour that what would happen, Mark, was people would come after the show. Young girls would come after the show and say, you know, I didn't know what you did. I saw Peter Noon and I stayed for the show. But, you know, I'd heard all the records on the radio, but I never had a face to put with the name. And, of course, the disc jockeys don't say that was Peter Noon singing. There's a kind of hush. They go, that was Herman's Hermits. So I have to reclaim the name. I think this year I'm going to go, you know, the next tour I'm going to go out Peter Noon and Herman's Hermits, or Herman's Hermits star and Peter Noon, you know, so people know who I am, basically.
Yeah. I think some people do, but you're right. Most people know you nowadays from the VH1's My Generation.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all people who've discovered recently. But, you know, radio stations have got the power, and they'll play the Grassroots record. And when the Grassroots come in town, people know who they're going to see. But if they play a Herman's Hermits record and then Peter Noon comes in town, they don't make the connection, you know, well, not as they're supposed to.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because Rob Grill was on the show from Grassroots.
Right.
And Rob went and did a show under his name, Rob Grill. And no one knew who he was. So he changed it to Rob Grill of the Grassroots.
Right.
I mean, people have to do that.
We all have to do that sometimes.
Peter, you were only, what, 15 or so when you had a number one hit?
Yeah, I think I was 15 when I made the record. I think I was 16 by the time it came out.
Is that too much for a kid to... I mean, is it really overwhelming to all of a sudden be number one in the charts and have people swooning all over you?
You know, I've often wondered about that, but I suppose it must have been the right time for me. You know, I believe there's a right time for everything. So I must have been ready for it, because I did pretty well in it. Luckily, sort of the Beatles were just happening when I started.
Yeah.
And they were so incredibly adept at sidestepping and being charming and amusing and good musically that it sort of kept me in the right place all the time. I said, well, you know, if I just do everything to impress them musically, then I'll be on the right track. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit.
It kept me kind of level-headed. And my education, I had a pretty good education. My parents traveled a lot. So I was a lot more worldly than the average 15-year-old, basically. You know, we traveled a lot. My father traveled a lot on business in Germany and stuff like that. So I knew how to stay out of trouble, basically.
We're talking with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits. Peter, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the members of the group and a little bit about some of the other things you've done, including TV and movies. We're going to continue talking with Peter Noon. We're going to take a little break, hear a little bit of music, and come back with more. That's Life with Mark Snyder with my special guest, Peter Noon. And welcome back to That's Life with Mark Snyder. You're listening to some of the great music from Peter Noon and Herman's Hermits. Actually, this is from an album called Teen Idols that you can buy on the tour. Hopefully, the tour will come back next year. It sounds like it might be doing it again next year, Peter?
It looks like it. You know, Bobby wants to do it. Davey wants to do it. I want to do it. We just got to find out, you know, whether the promoters want it. You know, we only played 44 dates.
Yeah, how'd they do? You know, I mean, did you?
So many cities in America that this would work in, so...
I know that you played Foxwoods. How did that go?
Phenomenal. That was one of the best places I've ever been. It's a great theater to play for musicians, you know.
It is. It's a great theater. I saw Billy Cyrus.
And nice place, nice casino, nice rooms and hotels. So, you know, you can't really beat those.
Now, did you...
That's the rock and roll singer's dream to end up in places like that, you know.
Did you do any little action after the show? Go in the casino?
You know, I didn't. I had to drive back to New York. I had some family in New York, so I finished the show and drove straight back to New York. I'd love to. That's a great place. I usually do. You know, I usually like to get paid for the show and win lots of money from the casino. That way they have to bring me back to get it back.
Tell us a little bit about the original Hermits that worked with you. I know I was reading in the paper that one of them passed away.
Yeah, Derek Leckenby, who was the lead guitar player, died a few years ago. You know, he had one of the same thing that Jackie Kennedy died of, you know, the
non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Yeah.
And, you know, Keith Hopwood is a guy I speak to almost, you know, weekly. He's the guy, he and I invented Herman's Hermit. And he's still a good friend. He owns a studio in Manchester that's doing extraordinarily well.
Does he have a tour with you?
Working with other people and doing TV jingles. And yeah. He did lots of children's videos, music. And Carl Green... who was the bass player, who was also one of the originals, was he now has an equipment rental. He rents equipment and PAs and things to other musicians.
Huh. Do any of these guys...
Weird, a complete full turn. And the last lesson, by all means, Lisa, is this guy called Barry Whitwam, who has a band which goes around calling it Herman's Hermits, which is really Barry's Hermit, because Herman ain't there.
Yeah.
But that's the whole team, really.
I'm glad you brought that up, Peter, because... that's something I've talked to so many people here. We've had members, you know, Carl Gardner from the Drifters on and Herb Reed from the Platters, a number of those kind of people. We're talking about all these groups touring. They're not really the groups at all, and they're just taking the names. And it kind of cheapens the whole act.
Well, in my case, I was prepared to live with it for a long time, but, you know, now it's just the drummer. And to be very honest, the drummers usually don't know the chords to all the songs. Now, he's teaching my songs to these new characters, and they don't play them very well. First of all, they don't play the right chords, and they don't learn the words. They're not intelligent enough to go and learn the right words to my song. And what happens is it's just making it cheaper and cheaper. You know, they're going out for $1,000 a night. I get $10,000 and $15,000 a night as Peter Noon, and they're getting $1,500. And people say, well, we can't afford Peter Noon. We'll get Herman's Hermits. And my agent says, well, they're not the real Herman's Hermits. We don't care. Everyone will show up and buy a ticket anyway. Mm. But that's not fair. And you know what happened is, the thing that really, really upset me is one of the guys from Herman's Hermits died, Leck. And, you know, people go to these characters' concerts.
Yeah.
People sign on the album cover. Well, you know, I don't think Leck would be very happy having people sign near his picture, pretending and imposed, you know, being imposters of him. You know, I don't think he would appreciate that. And now, unfortunately, what happens, which I never thought would happen, is now there are other Herman's Hermits. There's like some guy who joined the band in 1985 as another band called Herman's Hermits. So, you know, there's going to be a band out there called Peter Noon's Herman's Hermits, and there'll be Barry Whitwam's Herman's Hermits. And I think the public will have to take a choice on who they think represent the songs from Herman's Hermit's Best, whether it's my version or the drummer's version. And, you know, you'll have two choices, and we'll see how that goes.
Peter,
this character in England who's now got a band called, a great funny name, called the Travelling Wrinklies, which is like a play on Travelling Wilburys.
Mm-hmm.
But it says in the thing, featuring former members of Herman's Hermits, Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders, and some other band, Jerry and the Pacemakers. And, you know, I looked, and I emailed the guy, because I'm a computer junkie, and asked which members of Herman's Hermits were in this form, which were in the Travelling Wrinklies. And, you know, there's nobody in it that I've ever heard of. Not only that, but none of the people who claimed to be in Jerry and the Pacemakers were in Jerry and the Pacemakers. And none of the people who were in the Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders were in Wayne Fontana and the Mindbenders. They're all people who replaced people in these fake bands. And I think somebody better do something soon.
Well, see, that's the question I had for all these other guys. Now, those names like the Drifters and the Platters, some guy in New York bought those names. Who actually owns the name Herman's Hermits?
Well, you know, nobody really owns it. Probably the members of Herman's Hermits own it. But, you know, I'm in a better position to protect it for what it's really. I think it is a gem, like a valuable piece of work, like a trademark. And I don't think it's being very well protected.
Yeah,
so therefore, I'm going to claim the rights to it. And if anybody thinks I shouldn't have the rights, let them sue me. I believe that I will. I believe that I'm the owner of the name.
Well,
and,
maybe
know, my lawyer says that I should do that, if only to protect it.
Yeah, Peter, I think you should actually just try to register it now. If no one else has, you should register the name so that you own it.
I don't think that's how. You know, there's a thing called the Lanham Act. I've really looked into this, Mark. You know,
yeah.
Copyright law in America is like most of the legal system, is kind of ripe for abuse. It's wide open to be abused. And, you know, what will happen is, you know, the only thing I can do is I've got more money to fight. That's how you get rights
yeah.
in America.
Yeah.
The guy with the most money wins. This time, I got the most money in this fight. And you know what? I believe I can do a better job at making that name valuable.
Yeah.
100 years from now. You know, I mean, you cannot deny the fact that the Coasters, which was one of the most incredible and brilliant bands, all the Platters, would have been better served to have actually gone away when they went away.
Yeah.
And not come back in all these hybrid versions. Not that any of them aren't any good, and they're all nice guys and everything, but basically it's cheating. And if, you know, the music business, when I used to sit there listening to John Lennon pontificate about what rock and roll meant and what musicians could do to the world, the idea was to change all that stuff, to make everything be honest and truthful. I mean, you could say what you like about John, but he always led with the truth. And I like the truth. And this is not true. Well, all these people who call themselves Herman's Hermits and sign near my picture and pose and say things on stage like, in 1964, we went in the studio. Well, we is a bad word to say we went in the studio when nobody on the stage, including the drummer, was on the record. Barry has a lot of nerve saying he was on records because he wasn't on a load of the records as well. You know, so it's getting silly, and these are my friends. We grew up as being the great thing about Herman's Hermits is that we managed to, despite our fame and everything, remain like really close friends. Mm-hmm. And not many bands do that. And this business now, so, you know, in the end, there's always somebody who wants to, you know, make a buck on the sly. And I think anybody wants to make money. I think you should do it truthfully and honestly. Wow.
We're talking with Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits. You know, I remember watching a movie, When the Boys Meet the Girls. Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs was in it. And that was the first time I was ever introduced to Herman's Hermits. And I remember you singing the song Listen, People. It was incredibly powerful song.
Yeah.
And that must have been a lot of fun to do that movie.
Well, you know, it was great for us because the surprise from the whole thing was that we were on the MGM lot, and it was the biggest fan gathering outside the gates ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this was Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. You know, they'd just never seen that many teenage girls. And that was because everybody really underestimated the power of that British invasion until around then. You know, they thought it was something that would disappear. But then they gave us all movies, all these silly movies that we got to do. and they realized that, you know, just like in the old days of MGM movies, fans could, you know, draw an audience to even a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had fans, they would come and even watch a turkey. You know, and we were working for the same people who made all those Elvis Presley movies. And they start, because they saw all those fans at the gate, I mean, I'm talking thousands of girls there.
Yeah.
They signed us up for three pictures. I mean, Herman Hermit had never, we never wanted to be actors. You know, the band.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, my cell phone is... Is that better?
Yeah, much better, yeah.
Okay, we went through a little hole there, right? Probably an analog hole. And,
but, you know, it's interesting, because not only were you in it, but Sam the Sham was in it from MGM. Hello? I'll try again. We'll get him back again. He, we lost him in a tunnel. He's actually speaking to us on a cell phone.
Hello?
Hi.
I don't know
what happened there, but you're back with us. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, Mark. Yeah, I went through an area where I guess cell phones don't work.
Now...
We'll be, you know, the best place, Mark, is, you know, my website only shows real dates. You know, there's a lot of people talk about possibilities. I only put up dates when they're real. So if you go to www.peternoon.com,
yeah, that's where I got this from.
Exactly where I'm playing, when and where, and the times of the show and everything.
That's actually where this came from.
www.peternoon.com,
yeah.
It must be confusing then today. Maybe your browser's messed it up, but it's for September 27th, I believe, Fort Worth.
All right, but it's also, you do a lot of the cruises. That's an interesting gig, Royal
well,
Caribbean
you know, what
cruises.
What happens is that I've got to work on my show for next year. I'm going to go out with a brand new band. It's probably be called Peter Noon and Herman Hermits, or Herman Hermits with Peter Noon. And we're going to use all those cruises to rehearse. It's a very, very good place to put a band together and to get to know people at cruise.
Hmm.
And it's good for my fans because they can get to, you know, I'm more relaxed. I don't have to get up in the morning at 6 a.m. and take a plane.
Yeah.
You're kind of trapped on a ship. So we massive amounts of rehearsals. I'm from that school of music where you can never rehearse Henry VIII too much.
We get it right. You did we mentioned the movies that you did, but you did a lot of TV too. A lot of guest appearances.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Davey about that. Davey and I have done lots of those things where you sort of play a English rock star, you know, who lives in the neighborhood. And I played Davey's manager on My Two Dads. I played a manager of a rock and roll band on Quantum Leap, the murdering, cross-dressing, embezzling manager. You know, so I get to play all these rock stars, and it's... It's good because it means that my biggest show ever, I made the smallest appearance on Married with Children.
Uh-huh.
And people, young guys come up to the airport, to me on the airport and say, "You're that guy from Married with Children." I go, "Yeah, okay, I'll take that."
That's pretty funny. What did you do on Married with Children?
I played myself, and I thought that Al Bundy's name was Axel Bundy, and he'd been in a rock and roll band. And I said to him, you know, I remember your records, you know, the one that sold, I remember really well. It was like a joke about Axel Bundy.
Uh-huh.
And I guess people like Axel. Whatever happened to Axel Bundy? Will you find him, Mark, and do an interview with him? They just disappeared. People say that Nirvana was created, the band Nirvana was created just to get rid of Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses and Poison.
Yeah, I actually liked Guns N' Roses. Some of their stuff was pretty good.
I thought it was kind of amusing when he came on with that the umpire thing and the Scottish dress there.
Mm.
I thought that was like getting close to the edge.
You know, you just actually led me into my next question, Peter, and that is,
okay.
I'm a huge fan, as I've mentioned before, of 60s and early 70s music, the British Invasion, a lot of the American stuff. I thought that music at that point was incredibly good stuff, and I'm just. Not as excited about what's out now. I don't know if it's my age. Do you think that music nowadays is as good as it was in the 60s?
I think what I found is in the last about 18 months, big time good music coming out. I mean, I'm going out buying CDs now for the first time. I mean, new CDs for the first time for a long time. I like Nirvana and I like The Clash. There's bits all over the landscape that I enjoy. But right now, there's about 10 bands that I... own CDs from. You know, new bands like Goo Goo Dolls and even Hanson, I got a CD because I like one of the songs that they wrote with Barry Mann. And there's Third Eye Blind, I like a couple of their tunes. You know, I think the Tunesmiths have come back out.
Yeah.
You know, and they had to get going soon, these bands, because it was, the whole thing was getting taken over by girls. The rock and roll business was being, like 10 of the top 20 records were girls.
It's
probably the guy said, you know what, some famous producer I spoke to, I said, why do you only produce girls? And he said, because they listen.
Yeah. Well, I think
you can say to a girl, how about we change the bridge? Because the girl will say, okay, I'll try. But a guy will go, no, that's the bridge, and I wrote it, and it's mine, and leave it alone. I'm the guitar player, turn me off. So what happened was, I think, songwriters are back out.
Now, talking about songwriters and talking about singing, you actually did the title song on the movie Naked Gun, which I saw. I remember hearing your voice on that.
Yeah, right. I recut it. They wanted to use the Herman's Hermits record, but Alan Klein wouldn't let them use the original. So they said, would I go back in and sing it? They had to use that song because the brothers, the Zucker brothers who made that movie, when they were kids, their father only let them play Herman's Hermits and Perry Como in their house.
Wow.
And they didn't want to use Perry Como. They wanted to use Herman's Hermits. And then in Ghost, they used Henry VIII.
Really? I don't remember that.
The follow-up, yeah. Well, Patrick Swayze sang it, I think, to the girl for over and over until she agreed to help him.
I just remember it helped the Righteous Brothers with their big hit that was in that movie.
Oh, well, it was just Patrick Swayze sang it.
Yeah.
It wasn't the fabulous Herman, better known as Peter Noon.
Did you write any of these songs?
Pardon?
Did you write any of the music at all, Peter?
You know, little bits of it. All the Hermits and I wrote little bits and pieces, which we're kind of proud of, but the big ones were written before some of us were born. Like Henry VIII was written in 1910. Hmm. I know that's not before you were born, but it's before we were born.
Well, it's thanks a lot. Henry VIII is obviously still sung by people and stuff. What was it about that song that you guys chose to do it, of a 1910 song? Was that a decision of your manager or of you guys yourselves?
You know, what happened is we were looking for another song to do. We'd done it a few times live, like in 1962. And it was just one of those songs that seemed appropriate for that kind of English music hall thing that we were looking into. You know, it was a good sing-along song. I mean, it saved us, really. It was our twist and shout and our shout. And, you know, we needed that big closing song. And without realizing it, we cut Henry VIII. You know, my granddad knew some of the words. And I'd seen the guy who recorded it, Harry Champion, once, like in the, you know, very early 50s on his tour. And there were bits and pieces of it that I remembered. Obviously, I didn't remember the second verse.
Yeah.
So we did the second verse the same as the first, which kind of helped the song a lot.
Peter.
Yeah.
We're kind of losing you again. I'm gonna say goodbye and thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully we can speak again in the near future.
Well, it's great talking, Mark. And tell people if they want information and if they've got a computer, go to www.peternoon.com. One word, Peter Noon.
We got it, Peter Noon.
And thanks for the plugs.
Hey, anytime, Peter. I love your music and you're a great guy. Thanks so much for coming on.
Nice talking to you, Mark. Love your show.
Bye bye.